Welcome to the Decent Crypto Podcast. Today is Sunday, June 11th. We are back. Matt, how you doing?
We are so back. It's great to be here in New York City. We just got back from the Solana Hacker House. I tried to pick up a couple Solana phones, but they were out. So I don't know if that's
everybody's buying Saga phones.
They're fidgetals.
That's not what we're here to talk about. Well, kind of. Solana is always relevant, always in the news.
Yeah. It's got sticking power, you know? Like, anything bad that happens, you can generally have Solana in the conversation somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, just going back to the Hacker House, like, the thing was pretty well done.
Yeah, super well done.
Pretty professional, good, good execution. It seemed like people were there for a specific purpose. Everybody was actually building. We saw a few demos. A couple of them looked decent. This is the state of crypto right now. Is like anybody that's doing anything that's not a scam, it's like, oh, okay, great.
Nice. We still have builders.
Yeah.
It's also like, I went to like an institutional event over the week to like this happy hour. These things used to get like a couple hundred people there during the bull market. And even, you know, as late as like mid 2022, fast forward a year and there's like 30 people there. Mm. And I'm like, oh man, like this is kind of a sad state of affairs, but the builders have stuck around. I think that's one thing that Solana really does have going for it is people that build targeting Solana continue to build on Solana,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not jumping ship to other like Rust-based ecosystems. Like they like Solana,
yeah.
Like our friends at Samo.
Yeah. Yeah. Our friends at Samo crushing it. They're sponsoring the event. I don't know still what they do. But they have these little Samo coffee cups.
It's a dog coin.
It is a dog coin.
I think
true.
I know what they do. We're not building the future of social media. are they building the future of social or the future of finance or like or what?
They maybe both.
There's Samo Pay, right? Isn't there Samo Pay?
That's what I mean. I have no idea. The fact that there is a Samo Pay, it's impressive. Even the dog coins are more impressive than the other chains' dog coins.
Yeah.
The big problem with Solana is that it's so fast and so cheap to do anything that it just creates a culture of jeets. And so everybody just dumps their coins like immediately.
Yeah. Because you can take profit without worrying about gas at all. And so the market is much more like more dynamic. Like I saw a great tweet from this guy Block Grays, who is the number one talk signal of all time on Twitter, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I gotta admit the Solana technology is impressive. Look at how fast people are dumping."
Look, maybe that's also like virtue of the crowd being a little more sophisticated when it comes to just markets, in the Solana space. They bring more of the. Either it's like TradFi people or just people who've been around trading also.
Yeah.
And so they don't fall for the rugs as much. They fall for a lot stupider stuff. but like these like meme coins don't really take off on Solana.
Yeah, it's true. It might be partially because there's relatively little liquidity. But it's also partially because on Solana, people take profit very quickly because gas is so low.
Mm.
Right. So if you ape into a meme coin and it goes up 10%, you just sell it, right? Like you can literally always buy back in. There's no barrier to exit. The way there is on Ethereum. And I think NFTs that's true too. People flip like just a lot faster on Solana than they do
for
on other
sure.
chains.
For sure.
But yeah, good event. Overall felt pretty bullish, you know?
Like, yeah, I mean I think the biggest takeaway I had, I don't know if I already said I had a biggest takeaway, but this is another takeaway I had, is that Solana is everybody talks about utility, right? But they, like, actually, everybody's just building around utility on Solana. It's like, ticketing or, like, identity or, like, payments. like, these are the types of applications that are getting built and that were at the Hacker House and presenting at the demo day. So it's basically like, even, you know, the smallest kinds of, you know, like, interactions you would have in, you know, like at a concert or with your friends or whatever, like, they're kind of building those micro interactions into Solana based transactions, using, you know, NFTs is some of the, you know, mostly it's all around NFTs, right? It's like, you go to a concert and, like, you, like, can swipe your, whatever, this QR code on this thing, this whatever wristband that I'm wearing, and it'll give you some free tokens as you enter the festival or what have you. And that lets you redeem some, like, free drinks at a, you know, at a booth there. And, you know, the more you engage with certain things at the, you know, concert, the more you earn and the more you unlock and, like, all this kind of stuff. So the thing is, it's really only possible on a fast chain like Solana, all this kind of utility-based stuff, like ticketing, all these things that, like, applications that people have been talking about for years. And, yeah, now, like, people are building it. I would say, still, most of the stuff won't pick up. Again, the problem right now with Solana is that the assets, the underlying assets, really have no value. Like, there's nothing really of value on Solana. But if that is the long-term kind of model where it's these utility-based NFTs, then you can see a world where, like, you're just getting dropped tons and tons of stuff into your wallet. You have hundreds of, like, random little NFTs, but, you know, once people start building cooler, like, better, like, indexers, better marketplaces to actually exchange that stuff for stuff that's valuable, then maybe a lot of those things start picking up more inherent value and the ecosystem builds that way. So, I don't know. It's all just little building blocks. The fact of the matter is they are still at it. There were, I don't know, like, what, 100 people there today?
Yeah.
And probably, like, a few hundred that visited throughout the week. So, yeah, I don't know how we got this deep into the Solana Hacker House, but that is my take on the state of Solana. Not financial advice. Do your own research. Shorting is generally the best move in crypto.
over the last week, yeah. we should do a thing where each week we just, like, long or short, and, like, that's it
for the
and
next then, week. Yeah, yeah,
and see if we do better than a coin toss.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun, actually.
I think coin toss is gonna outperform.
Coin tosses can probably outperform, yeah, on a week by week basis. Yeah, it would be fun to do it, like, on a, like, very, like, regular basis, you know. So it's like we do it every week, and we do it every month, we do it every quarter. Yeah, did every year, you know? Cause could be good. Yeah.
We could even make it an app or something. Let our listeners do.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, let everybody else join in on the coin toss.
What if we did, like, a Twitch Plays Crypto thing where, like, we let everyone just, like, you know, log on and say bullish or bearish on, like, on the market overall, and then we see, like, we allocate, like, $100 or something and see what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just like the Solana challenge, you know, just like every week, we'll start with like 10 soul. One soul every week.
Lose a soul every week.
Lose a soul every week. That sounds pretty fun. That's a good segment for us to do it on a weekly basis.
Yeah. What do we call it?
Bullish or bearish?
Bullish or
We can come up with something. Listeners, if you're still listening, come up with a segment.
They're not.
Nobody's listening. Give us a name for this.
Yeah. Non-binary.
Yeah. It would be fun. I mean, we can just do a... Honestly, we need to hire a community manager to, like, set up a Discord for us, run the Discord. Yeah. I kind of wanted to talk to our listeners, you know, see who they are.
Yeah, it would be
we
fun,
we found out we had some listeners who are YouTubers.
yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, wait, how did this come about?
My sister sent me this video of just, like, two dudes talking on YouTube. Like, you know what crypto podcast I really love that I would recommend for our listeners is Decent Crypto Podcast.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at it, I'm like, who the fuck are these people? Like, I've never heard of them. Like, my sister had nothing to say. And I was like, who are they? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, wait, what? Like, you don't know? and they just shouted us out. It was really weird.
No, but, like, shout out to them.
Yeah.
Appreciate the love. I'm trying to find who these guys are so I can specifically shout them out.
We'll put them in the show notes.
We'll put them in the show notes, but what the fuck? Who are these lads?
Oh, I sent them in the group chat.
Oh, you sent them in the group chat?
Between Yumi and Vlad, I think. Yeah.
Vlad. It's probably two AI Vlads, as I said.
Yeah. It's a different crypto podcast. It's called Sometimes Crypto.
Sometimes Crypto. Nice.
They have 21 subscribers, 65 videos.
Nice. Legends.
Absolute legends. Dude, this guy wears the same black t-shirt every episode.
Nice. Cool. We should do that, and then we'll launch our NFT collection, and then people will be super hyped about it.
Dude, we talked about launching an NFT collection on, like, 9 chains right now.
I know, but now we actually have a thesis. It's going to be on Bitcoin.
Yeah, of course. It always has been.
Yeah, it has to be on Bitcoin.
You want to talk about the week? Great week, honestly. Great week. You know, overall, just, like, a lot of regulatory clarity.
Yes. So Binance got sued, and then Coinbase got sued.
By the SEC.
A bunch of the assets that they list. Let me finish the gist, I guess. A bunch of the assets that they list, the SEC said, are securities that they are serving or letting their customers trade that are, you know, unregistered securities, including Solana, Matic, Cardano, a few others like Chili's, Adam is like, dude, they just can't catch a break. Just down bad forever. Never buy Adam. That's the biggest takeaway. Like, this is financial advice. Literally, never touch Adam.
Yeah, I don't think we have a single listener that was thinking about buying Adam.
I don't know. Dude, I have some weird, like, some of the, like, normie people who are, like, mid-curving their way, like, deeper and deeper down the crypto rabbit hole. They, like, discover Adam, and they're like, wait, what? Like, layer is zero for all blockchains? Wow. Like, it just makes so much sense.
It's a whole universe.
Like, wow, it's crazy, right? Like, did you know, like, Cosmos, like, 2014? And then it's like, no, just don't touch it.
Everybody says the same thing. They want to find a way to invest in Cosmos.
Yeah.
But not if that way is Adam.
Yeah.
So then
both of them get sued. Coinbase counters by saying they're not going to delist any of the assets mentioned.
Binance says they are going to delist many of their pairs on Binance US only, though.
Yeah, Binance US also then froze new deposits.
They froze new deposits, yeah. And the DOJ ordered them to freeze customer accounts and, like, withdrawals and everything. I don't think they complied with that. But for a minute, did you catch this? Like, every token on Binance US was, like, 10% more expensive than on any other exchange.
People
just wanted to get their assets off, and they were worried that they weren't going to be able to, like, wire out the fiat. And so the only way to do it is to just, like, buy Bitcoin, send yourself Bitcoin, right. Buy ETH, send yourself ETH. And I was checking prices on Binance US, like, randomly, because I meant to open the Binance app because it's the best mobile interface just to check prices. I accidentally opened the Binance US app, and I was like, holy shit, ETH is at 2K? What the fuck? And I'm like, it turns out it's just the Binance US users trying to get their cash out, which is kind of fucked. Which is interesting, because basically, if you deposit crypto in there, you can sell your crypto for Binance US dollars.
Yeah, BUSD, fiat. Yeah.
But, like, it's fiat on the Binance US exchange that you can withdraw to a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Except that basically that fiat is trading at a discount because people are worried it's going to take three years to get that fiat out. They'll have to wait for, like, you know, legal stuff to settle for, like, the case to get cleared up. And then at that point, they'll be able to take their dollars off platform. which is an interesting asset in and of itself, the Binance US fiat dollar.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like a Binance, like a treasury, you know?
It's a claim on, it's like a claim on dollars at some point out of the Binance US ecosystem. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, if Binance US dollars went to, say, 10 cents on the dollar, would you buy some? You know, knowing that, like, 3 years later, you'd probably get a, you know, quick 10x.
Probably not, because they're probably going to get seized.
Seized?
I don't know. DOJ goes user after deposits, Binance US. I mean, I would imagine they get seized by, like, okay, like, I would not, like, seized, but I would imagine that, like, Binance, the entity, if they lose in court, right, like, they won't have control of the assets.
Of the Binance US assets?
Yeah. Like, it would be DOJ that has control of the assets.
Well, if they lose in court, they would get slapped with some kind of penalty, and they would have to stop doing the things that they were accused of, right? But it doesn't mean that, like, the whole operation gets, like, shut down necessarily.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not comparing Binance US to FTX, but it's, like, situations where it's, like, the, you know, whatever government agency it is.
If it declares bankruptcy and then it goes into, like, a liquidation process.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I could see the U.S. government being like, fuck the users, fuck the depositors onto Binance U.S. Like, that's our cash now. Like, you know, that happens all the time with, like, random, like, police, like, seizures and stuff, property forfeitures and all that. So I thought that was interesting. The Binance case had two kind of angles to it. There was, like, one angle, which was the sort of, like, classical, like, these are securities, stop offering them. And then there was the other angle, which is like, you guys have
seizing customer funds.
Exactly. All the improper conduct, right? Like sending customer funds to like slush funds.
To Merit Circle.
CZ.
Yeah.
Merit Circle? Nice.
Yeah, that's the name of the fund run by CZ.
Wait, isn't Merit Circle a fucking gaming project too?
Oh, yeah. Wait. What's the... what is the CZ thing called? Merit Circle is a
it's a gaming
thing. Merit Peak.
Merit Peak, yeah. We are a decentralized autonomous organization on a mission to revolutionize gaming.
It's I remember being shilled Merit Circle by
Merit Circle, YGG.
It was like 12 bill market or FDV at the peak.
Dude, this is insane that, like, not only did we have, like, all this, like, random, like, super dumb GameFi stuff at the peak, we had things like Merit Circle and YGG that were doing, like, guilds for, like, for GameFi. Like, that's the sort of crap that, like, the smart people in the room were thinking about, like, a couple of years ago. Just, like, really hard to imagine.
Real Pico Talk stuff.
Yeah. You can borrow a DeFi Kingdoms hero and go quest.
Great Ponzi.
There's the improper like sending of funds to Merit Peak. There's they maybe ran their own internal like market maker. There's like allegations of like they didn't do enough to like prevent market manipulation, et cetera.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of internal communication that was revealed. And so it seems like
that we are running a fucking unregistered securities exchange in the US, bro. This shit could go to zero anytime in reference to BNB and Binance.
Wait, and who wasn't that like the chief compliance officer?
That was like something like that.
I mean, that's a fucking banger of a tweet.
That's a banger. Well, yeah, because it was basically one employee, like another high level employee, asking this guy, like, "Hey, should I hold BNB? Because I think it had pumped a lot." And he's like, "Should I hold this? Should I sell?" And he's like, "This shit could go to zero at any time. We are running a fucking unregistered securities in the U.S. securities exchange in the U.S., bro." and then the SEC screenshotted that, put it on a red background, and then tweeted it out. the actual SEC official account.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic.
I'm loving it. This is basically just a rerun of Billions. It's just CeCe and Gensler as the two main characters.
Yeah.
And it's just Billions.
He even kind of looks, not, he doesn't look exactly like him, but you know.
He looks like a very, man. Like, yeah, skinny, frail version of that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like, you know how, like, when, like, you know, there's a story in real life and then they write the movie or the TV show and they have an actor to play them?
Yeah.
It looks exactly like that.
Pretty
it
much. Like pretty took, much. Yeah. Yeah. Even CZ and Bobby Axelrod. It's like, CZ is like a real life billionaire and then Axe is like a what a TV billionaire looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Amazing. So yeah, we live in Billions now.
Crypto. Yeah, welcome to Crypto. Billions.
I don't think we are early any
who's
longer.
Who's the therapist?
That's Kobe. A good question, Kobe. Yeah. Wow. I don't think so because Kobe's leaking that CZ is gonna have red notice alert coming soon. So I mean, now like that seems like more likely now, right? Like Interpol red notice for CZ.
I guess.
I mean, now that DOJ is involved, I mean, more likely than before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's like actual like crime allegations.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, okay. Not taking away, you know, like just talking here, like. They probably improperly moved some customer funds at some point. It's like, come on, let's be real. Like,
dude, I don't
it's
know,
fucking
man.
Crypto.
You
dude.
Have this like, much fucking money, you're gonna fuck around with customer deposits? Like,
you don't think in the history of Binance ever there was ever a time when they were like, fuck, like all of our banking partners are screwing us, like we can't get
we'll
money around here and there.
Depositors,
yeah, yeah, not even like borrow some, but it was like, look, if you're CZ, right? They're like, look, every fucking bank does fractional reserve. Like, you don't need all the deposits there at all times. Like, not people aren't gonna ask for their deposits back all, you know, all at once, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if we have 40% of them there, we can use the 60% to cover some other shit up temporarily.
Temporarily.
Just
for a minute. Just yeah. For a little.
I'm just saying, like, in the history of crypto, there has been so much. First of all, shady shit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That I definitely believe that has happened. Whether it be at Binance or other exchanges. But that aside, I also think that there have been, like, similarly to Tether.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that foundation
yeah.
Where it's just like, sometimes you just don't have the access to resources or, like, whatever. You just need to move money around because you can't get.
Yeah.
You know, money from elsewhere. And
like,
so,
thank God for crypto, it transfers instantly.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Where it's like, I can just absolutely, having worked at two big exchanges, I can absolutely see situations where, and like, I don't think, obviously, this has happened at like Coinbase or Kraken, but it's like.
Yeah, I don't think at Coinbase or Kraken, anyone
yeah.
Would risk it. Right?
No,
yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, at a completely unregistered exchange, like.
KuCoin, Binance.
Yeah,
Mexi,
yeah.
Mexi Global.
Yeah, well, yeah. For sure, Mexi, like, I don't know, like, any of these exchanges that are not registered, like, you have no visibility into the funds, like...
Yeah. No, so here's my counterpoint, though, right? Like, crypto is also a place where, like, shit happens, like, disproportionately to, like, what you think could happen. So, like, FTX going under, right? Like, nobody thought that was, like, a likely, like, outcome for a long fucking time. It took us all a long time to be like, oh, man, maybe the funds aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it only happened once literally everybody started withdrawing, mm-hmm. Right? And so, like, this is a space where, like, the blue chip asset has so much volatility that it went to, like, 4K. Like, Bitcoin mm-hmm. went from 20 to 4K, like, pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get, like, crazy fucking, like, you know, capitulation candles, you get crazy pumps.
Yeah.
Like, the if you're, say you're trying to run something that's a little bit shady, mm-hmm. Right? Part of what you want to do is make sure that, like, as you do it, like, volatility doesn't, like, you know, it's like any kind of leverage,
yeah.
Right? Like, the more volatility you have in the underlying asset, the more likely it is that you hit, like, a, you know, a six sigma, like, six standard deviation fucking event.
Yeah.
And, like, you're caught off guard and, like, you don't have the funds to, like, continue to cover up whatever.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, let's think about Bernie Madoff, right? Like, that was only discovered because of the financial crisis.
Yeah.
Right? So like Binance has been around for so long, through so many market cycles, mm-hmm. through so much random shit, through like runs on the bank, right? Like remember when Binance had its own little mini run on the bank after FTX? Mm-hmm. Like, and it was solvent, right? Yeah. It remained solvent. Yeah. So like, if you were going to do shady shit, you'd have to be really careful about it in crypto because yeah. eventually, like, if there is a leak in the boat, like, it's going to get discovered.
Yeah. No, I agree. But that's also why I kind of think that...
At some point, there was something.
Because it's like, dude, for them to have survived all this stuff, just think about every single one of their competitors dead. Every single one is dead.
Except for Coinbase and Kraken.
Yeah, but they're not really their competitors. They're fully compliant, like regulated exchanges in the U.S.
Yeah. Well,
like,
what else?
Through the history, BitMEX, bro. Like FTX. Fucking Mt. Gox, BitMEX, FTX. Everything else is irrelevant, dude. Like, what yeah. else is even doing volume right now?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
BitGo, like
Deribit.
No, it's not.
No, I guess not.
That's the thing. They killed Deribit too.
Wow. dead and gone.
Yeah. The only it's like basically just Binance, and then like on chain.
Yeah.
Or you have the regulated side, just Coinbase and Kraken.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like maybe like OKX and like these other exchanges, like mostly it's other Chinese exchanges are doing a little bit of volume.
But very rare that you don't.
And so they offer niche products that Binance doesn't offer, generally.
Like ordinals?
Yeah, like BRC is like an ordinal, is like a, OKX has that. KuCoin is like in the US but offers margin.
Yeah. That shit's awesome, by the way, guys. Use my referral link.
Bybit. Bybit actually does.
Bybit,
but
yeah.
That's because they offer like crazy, crazy leverage.
Oh, interesting. I have some like OG homies that were like into like Bitcoin mining back in the day, and Bybit is the only exchange they use.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I know a lot of like trader types who use only Bybit.
Interesting.
I think they have good funding, good liquidity for their perps. Yeah, I don't know. I don't trade much, so I have no idea. But
yeah, as you shouldn't, because guess what happened this week?
So the whole market's.
So Binance gets slapped and things are down.
So is this the charge to Binance US, Binance, or both? Or CZ, is all three?
All three, yeah. All three. And it's big. I mean, there's like, it's something like 100-something pages, right? Including a lot of material on the underlying assets and why they're like alleged to be securities.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because like, you read through it, and on some of these projects, you're like, all right, I can see the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on some of them, you're like Atom, you're like, okay, that's clearly not a centralized enough thing that, like, there's any case for, like, I mean, these guys are so disorganized. First of all, no one invests in Atom with the expectation of profit, right?
Yeah.
Like, second, like, these guys can't even get, like, fucking Atom 2.0 through. Like, they can't, like, there's just so much, like, decentralization going on
yeah.
there. That like it's
literally
very hard to make
too much
for Atom being too much for its own good for sure, and then on the other stuff some of them are like I could see it right, and you know obviously we're not securities lawyers so you know take this as you will, but like the interesting thing one of the interesting things for me was most of the evidence that they like submitted like as part of the investigation looked like kind of like intern level content.
Mm-hmm.
It was like someone out there was tasked with like put together 12 pages on why this token is a security, and then they just had to fill it with details of like what you know whatever. So they had like some like super relevant detail that like Solana is based in California or so, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or like they'll just have like random shit in there that's not actually related to it being a security at all. There's a lot of instances of that where you're like, why? What, like, did you guys just copy-paste the white paper into this thing in bullet point format? Like, come on.
Mm.
So that felt pretty slapdash. The other part that felt pretty slapdash is that, like, so you have tokens listed by Coinbase. You have tokens listed by Binance. You have some subset of them that the SEC apparently believes to be securities.
Yeah.
And then they list, like, some of them in the Coinbase, accusations, and then some of them in the Binance ones. But there are tokens that are listed by Coinbase that were called out as securities in the Binance document.
Interesting.
That were not called out in the Coinbase document, and vice versa. There are tokens that are listed by Coinbase and Binance that were listed in the Coinbase one, but not in the Binance one. Mm. And then there's like everything in the middle, right? So like, it just felt like the whole thing was put together really carelessly. Mm. And just sort of like in a hurry to try to get all of this stuff to press. Without like, it just doesn't feel like they care much if this holds up in court.
Yeah, it does seem like it's mostly for show.
Yeah. Which I think, like, I don't know, like, if you want to like transition into like the you want to transition the market interpretation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, is this another like bottoming event?
A couple more liquidations, dude. Then yeah. So, bottoming event. I like that. It's the bottom. So, not for Adam, unfortunately.
No. We'll never be the bottom. Like, for Adam. For most of the alts now, I think this is kind of the death blow, where it's like they're just not coming back now.
Yeah.
Because I think now, for most of the potential buyers that they had, like, they're just not touching this shit now.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a long time.
Let me name a token. You tell me if you think anyone's going to buy it from here on out. Okay, yeah. Ready? Doge.
Maybe.
Okay. Ape.
No.
Really? Okay, I'm bullish Ape.
Oh, God, no, yeah. I know it was one of my biggest holdings in our draft.
Yeah, it was the number one pick. Yeah. Dude, the FOMO portfolio was killing it.
My Lord.
Because I had Luna, you had Ape. Like, we should check in on that.
Correct, yeah, we should. We'll do the quarterly update at the end of the quarter.
It might be even almost a year now, I think.
True.
I'm going to keep naming tokens. You ready? Okay, AVAX.
Yes, actually,
because
it wasn't named. Right?
Well, it wasn't named, but it was down just as much as the others.
Yeah, it's down just as much.
I got a lot of calls this week, like, because you know I'm like full disclosure work at Polygon, right? And I got a lot of calls like, "Yo, man, like, why didn't Avalanche get named?" And I'm like, "I don't fucking know, man. I don't even have my answer to why did you guys get named is also no comment, but like." My answer for why did Avalanche not get named is very no comment.
Yeah,
I have
no
fucking idea.
No idea.
Anyway.
I don't know. I think maybe the only reason I can state is they can somehow maybe pull off this like real world assets subnet play with Evergreen or whatever it's called is the first one, and then a bunch of them kind of following suit. Chances are low, but that's the only route I see, yeah.
I could see it. The other thing I think that they might do, now this would be, like, pretty interesting, and if I were them, I would totally do this. I would, like, pre-register as a security. Like, so, for example, like
Ethereum... Like Stacks.
Ethereum can't... exactly, like Stacks.
Yeah.
Ethereum can't register as a security. Nobody's fucking in charge. Ava Labs can absolutely come in and be like, we offered a security...
Yeah.
Tell us what fine to pay.
Tell
us how to register. Get the shit traded on the NASDAQ. And they would love getting traded on the NASDAQ. Like, that's kind of been their goal. Like, you saw the Subway ads, right? Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't it feel like it would be part of their plan?
Definitely.
Come in, pre-register as a security, start doing like 10Qs, 10Ks, whatever. Avalanche comes in, registers as a security, gets listed on NASDAQ. Bullish or bearish?
It depends what price it's at that time. At this current level, in all of that stuff happened, and it's still at the same price, then I'm bullish.
Hmm. If it goes down between now and then, say it goes...
Oh, for sure, bullish, yeah.
Okay.
I think the market is pricing in right now that it's basically just like steady state. It's going to be like number three, number four in the smart contract race.
Interesting.
I think if they do all that, they definitely go to becoming clearly like
a winner or
one of the clear winners, you know? Yeah. And so it'll get repriced.
Okay. More tokens. Pepe.
No.
Pepe's dead. Pepe, not coming back next cycle.
No.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, it'll get a pump next cycle. Yeah. But it's not like all these things, like, they'll get a bid in the next cycle because of just market dynamics, but it's like, I'm thinking about outperformance here.
In terms of Bitcoin and ETH?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say if you're looking at Bitcoin and ETH terms, I would say, I don't know about never, I'm just thinking about like pure outperformance, like none of these are going to outperform.
Litecoin.
Oh God, Litecoin. It just never dies, but yeah. I would definitely not bet on outperformance.
Yeah, Solana.
Yes, I would.
Really?
Yeah. At this current price, again, like, I bet on Sol to $1 this year. So, it's at, like, what, 15, 16 bucks right now? So, it's a little above my prediction, but...
just a bit, though.
Just a little. No, I don't think it's not going to go to a dollar, but I could see it going back to its low of, like, 8 or 9.
I mean, it's only down, like, 90-something percent so far.
It could go down, could go down another 90%. Yeah.
Okay. Matic?
It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I. You know.
It's tricky.
I got no comment.
Fair.
Okay. So the interesting thing was, if you look at the play-by-play, Binance comes out, things are down. They're not down that bad. They're down 5-6%. Bitcoin ETH down a cool 2, right? And I'm like, God damn it, the bottom's in. Like, if this kind of shit hits the tape and like Bitcoin ETH down like 2%, that's really good, right?
Yeah.
Like, we are clearly in up only season again, max bid, right? And so things are down, and you know, most of my like normie TradFi friends are like, ah, securities, and you know, the next day, Coinbase news comes out. I was actually in between meetings, so I have a first meeting, and I'm like, hey guys, like, just wanted to let you know this whole Binance thing, you know, we're going to have a lot of questions around this, we should figure out what our messaging is internally, so that we know that we're, like, you know, approaching this appropriately, blah, blah, blah. And then the Coinbase thing comes out, and I'm like, maybe we cancel the internal meetings. Like, so Coinbase comes out, and things dump a little bit, and then pump. Did you see this?
Yeah,
like, he pumped considerably a couple of hours.
Just completely retraced.
Yeah, just up only, dude. It was amazing. And then the following day, Robinhood announces that it's going to delist Solana, Cardano, and Matic because they are alleged to be securities. And at the end of the month, whoever forgets to liquidate will just get them market sold.
That's wild.
Yeah. I guess what else are you going to do? I don't know.
Add to the treasury. Add them to the treasury.
Add them to the Robinhood treasury?
Yeah.
What? Like, you're just going to take the user funds? I guess, yeah, it's crypto.
Well, yeah.
Look, I mean, Robinhood's really interesting, too, because they totally have the infrastructure to support securities trading. Everybody that's a like user on Robinhood is allowed to use it to trade securities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I guess the issue is that these are now unregistered securities if they're deemed securities. And so they, you know, Robinhood can offer their users registered securities, but not unregistered ones, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Cue a bunch of people emailing me about like how much of these tokens does Robinhood have, unclear. They also give you a button to just send it to your custodial wallet or a non-custodial wallet. It's like send to yourself in the Robinhood wallet app. Yeah, because there's a Robinhood wallet app, which is pretty sick.
Huh.
And slowly the market starts to digest this. So this happens at like 9, 10 a.m. on Friday. Market starts to digest slowly. It's down a little bit. It's down a little more. It's down a little more. By the end of the day, by like 5 p.m. or so, each of these things is probably down like 6-7%. And then I go to, what was I doing? It was someone's birthday party. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Go to my friend's birthday party, start dancing, come out of the party, go home, have a slice of pizza on the way, walk the dog, take the dog back in. And I remember opening my phone and being like, that can't possibly be right. I'll figure it out in the morning. I wake up in the morning, mildly hungover, and everything has fucking nuked overnight. Like, it was like the wildest, like, chart. Like, did you see this thing?
Yeah.
It was like you know, the previous day's like 7% looked like, you know, this, and then like a quick like drop to like prices you wouldn't have believed, and then sort of retrace like half of it over the next hour.
I got the nice CoinGecko notifications in the morning.
Did you have the CoinGecko notifications on?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, in my portfolio, yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty great.
Dude, I thought you were only holding stables.
No. Now I'm you need to be in the markets, you know? Like, I was in the shitcoin season, bro. I was Pepe, I was in Mong, I was in all the dumb shit.
Mong, I forgot about Mong. That was sick.
Yeah, I was talking to the guy, the scammers who made Mong yesterday.
Really?
They were like, well, they're like, they didn't make it, but they're like loosely involved with the whole BitLord crew and all that.
No, dude, Mong's not a security, man. Like, there's no effort. There's no effort to others because there's no effort.
Sure. Still waiting for marketing.
So you got the notifications.
Just the next day, it's like, your coin is moving. It's like, -20%. Next coin, -20%. Interesting situation.
So as of this morning, stuff had been down like 20-30%. Not great, down bad. Coinbase has said that like they haven't made a decision to delist anything right now. Now, interestingly, if you look back at the Ripple case, right? So when Ripple was like alleged to be a security and like sued by the SEC, it was delisted from Coinbase pretty much immediately. Or like very, very soon thereafter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a lawsuit like against Ripple directly.
Yeah.
Whereas like this lawsuit is against Coinbase and Binance.
And they just listed these things.
Yeah. So Coinbase is like, nah, this is our suit, so we can do what we want, right? This isn't like the SEC coming to us and being like, hey, guys, just so you know, we're suing these guys, they're offering an unregistered security, you need to take that down.
Mm-hmm.
This is the SEC being like, half your business is unregistered securities, what do you want to do about it?
Yeah.
And Coinbase has no choice but to fight it, right? Obviously, yeah, of course. It's existential. I don't see the upside for them of giving in on these tokens in particular, because it just opens up this like precedent, right?
Yeah.
Like prior to the lawsuit getting like settled, right? They need to sort of stand their ground on it. So I think that's kind of how it's going to play out.
Hmm.
Hard to say though. And you know, interestingly, so the question is, if you're like part of the team at Solana, for example, like what do you do, right? Like what, you know, there's no upside for you attracting more like attention. Not that you don't already have the full attention of the SEC, but there's no, like, if you go out and you're like, we challenge the basis of, like, you know, we challenge these allegations, we're obviously not offering a security, like, we disagree with the SEC's stance. You're looking at it and you're like, man, maybe I'm, like, inviting pain here.
Yeah, there's nothing to do here.
Yeah.
The thing I realized is, like, if the SEC doesn't notice you, they're just not going to do anything. And if they do notice you, they have a reason to.
And it means you're already big enough that, like, that you earned it. And, you know, the SEC is just, like, one country as well, which, like, if you enter, like, territory where, like, your founders are in the U.S., you know, the labs company is based in the U.S., and you start, like, attracting SEC attention, that's not great, right? But even if, like, the U.S. exchanges have to delist your token, you might still be allowed to just, like, operate in the U.S., mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. Until you, like, attract their attention.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like zero return, all risk to do anything if you're one of these foundations. But it didn't stop Solana from coming out and saying directly,
they're like, we don't believe we're a security.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, guys.
Yeah. And then Polygon did a similar thing. Even like more nebulous, they were just like, we don't like when people FUD. We're building technology, you know, end of story. Like, we'll continue building for the global like digital settlement layer or something. Didn't mention securities, didn't mention tokens, didn't mention the SEC, but like very clearly, like that was the angle. Mm. It's interesting to see there's literally zero upside for these guys to do anything, like, at all, right? Like, it just seems like clearly not the play. So, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, no, there's zero reason for them to get involved. This is like an exchange thing. Let the exchanges deal with it.
Yeah, let the exchanges deal with it.
Yeah.
So the exchanges are going to go to court to fight, like, all of our battle here.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Based Brian. Dude, I'm going to stake my ETH with Coinbase now.
Nice.
I just want to give them, like, enough, like, a little revenue stream to, like, help them keep going.
Hell yeah.
One thing that I've noticed across the board is that people act like getting named a security is like literally the end of the world. And it's just like at that point you're dead, like dead, right? It's a little bit like getting some kind of chronic disease, right? Where you just assume that like if you get it, you're fucked. Like that's it. You might as well be dead at that point. But a lot of chronic diseases, we have like high quality medications to treat people, right? Like it feels like, you know, people don't think about like what actually happens from here. What do you think happens from here?
It's going to be really dependent on the Ripple case, I think.
Yeah.
And then just, I don't know, 2 to 3 more years of this stuff playing out in court. I think that I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
I think you could really make a case that many of these things are securities.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, if they're securities and they're not registered, and a lot of them are unable to register just because the way the whole thing, the system is set up, right?
Yeah.
Then that's not great for your token price because the U.S. customer base has no access.
Yeah.
And, like, their holdings get, like, market sold.
Right. Or it just is a matter of time until some of the big ones register or, like, the big exchanges get licenses, that kind of stuff.
Well, they'll have to get licenses, but also, like, you know, the way, like, securities registration works is, like, it requires a lot of overhead. It requires, like, financial statements, right?
Yeah.
Like, all sorts of things. You know, it requires the people involved in it to not be, like, tweeting out of pocket shit the way that, like, everybody on crypto Twitter does, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Saylor says. He's like, dude, you will never see me discuss MicroStrategy stock price. Ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do that. I'm definitely not allowed to do that. I'll go to fucking jail if I ever, ever discuss MicroStrategy stock.
Yeah.
But Bitcoin, I can tell you to fucking mortgage your house and buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it. Mortgage your house and buy Bitcoin. Like, get on the train, man, before it leaves the station. Bitcoin's going to the moon. It's interesting, right? I think it's really hard to see a world where anyone but Avalanche registers. You see the Solana Foundation doing it? They're so tech. They're so tech heavy. They're not really business people, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I would see, I don't know. I could see a couple of other foundations doing it. I don't know. Solana probably later in the game. It's all TBD.
Near Polkadot?
Yeah, probably like near. I literally have no idea. I don't know, dude. All this stuff is just so like lawyers need to figure this shit out.
Flow.
Flow for sure, yes.
Flow for sure,
100%.
Yeah.
Cool. What else? Anything else happened this week?
Nah, I've been trying to figure out the right way to, like, I've been workshopping this joke. Have I told you about this?
No.
Oh, man. It's not there yet. It's something about, like, people ask me how my week's going, and I tell them all, you know, I've been talking to my therapist, and my therapist says, all my problems stem from insecurities, but I keep trying to tell him it's actually my problems stem from securities.
Wow. Yeah.
it's not
needs,
quite there
needs
yet.
Workshopping. this is like a Crypto Mondays workshopping, you know, situation. You need to ask the boys in Stanford what they think.
Oh man.
All right. Well, this is good. This has been our first recap in a bit. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Decent Crypto Podcast. We'll be back in a few days with our newest deep dive. Have a good rest of your weekend, everybody. Till next time, stay decent.
notes. None of this was financial advice, legal advice, investment advice, or any other kind of advice. If you're looking for advice, you are definitely in the wrong place. Until next time, stay decent.